Sorry, one more thing I gotta do here. There. Okay. The nice thing about Bibles is you don't have to flip them. It seems like I'm always flipping my iPad. Okay. Let's do this. That's the title of my message, and you're probably wondering why. Strange title, a resume for Christians. It's kind of, it adheres kind of with our verses that I'm about ready to read. So I'm reading today's scripture verses from the book of Exodus, chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. Hopefully you can see them. I'm not good at the font stuff yet, so I apologize, but let's start with verse 1. Then Moses answered, "But behold, they will not believe me or listen to my voice, for they will say, 'The Lord did not appear to you.'" The Lord said to him, What is that in your hand?" He said, "A staff." And he said, "Throw it on the ground." So he threw it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses ran from it. But the Lord said to Moses, "Put out your hand and catch it by the tail." So he put out his hand and he caught it, and it became a staff in his hand, that they may believe that the Lord, the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has appeared to you. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this time that we can come to your house. And Lord, just pray you bless this few minutes here that I have. May I give you honor and glory. And I just pray that the message will touch hearts in some way. And these things are prayed in your name. Amen. Okay, let me get adjusted here. I'm sorry. So I got this verses from a few weeks ago. I promise I won't go 58 minutes because I don't think I can, or otherwise the Lutherans will kick us out. but I got the message today from a Daily Bread, and what stood out to me is where it said, you know, Moses was saying he didn't have anything to offer. You know, when God needed him to serve, he was saying that people would not believe him. And they would not listen to his voice. And he was showing some doubt, kind of like probably what we'd go through. But then God said, "What is that in your hand?" So when I read the verse and in the Daily Bread, I'm going to give it credit. It mentioned, you know, sometimes we ask that, or we doubt ourselves. We don't think we have anything to offer. You know, how do we react when we're asked to serve, or when we should be going out to tell others about God and about Christ? So I was thinking, you know, we may not have a staff, but we have a resume, so to speak. You know, when you go to a job and apply for, which, you know, you're not applying for a job. We'll get that straight here as we go. But a resume, it kind of gives you something to market yourself, to show you think about what you have done over your course of time. So that's basically what I was saying is, you know, that's what you're in your hand. And so what I'm going to say is, you know, your works, you know, while you're thinking about this, as you're building this resume, it's not going to get you saved. We know that. And most interviews, when you have, you get your resume, your application, you're puffing yourself up, so to speak. You're building yourself up. Well, I don't want you to think that way either as we're talking. I just want you to think about what you have, that you have more in your hand than you think. And you don't have to have a college degree, you don't have to have certifications. You want a willing heart. I was singing the last song, and it was just like that song, kind of going songs with what I was going to talk about. Now I'm forgetting the lyrics. Take my hand, take my voice, you know, you want to present yourself in a way to serve God, and you have more than you think, and you want to give all you got, so to speak. So we sell ourselves short. So I'm going to just kind of walk through a little template to help you think what you have in your hand. So the first thing I wanted to go through is the definition of a resume. I can't read that. Oh my gosh, I'm glad I made a quick copy of it before we started. So a resume, and I'm sure you can't, so I gotta get this slide stuff down. It's a document of a job applicant that's created to summarize their work experience, their educational background, and special skills. So let's start off with our resume template. The first thing is the introduction. And when you have a resume, you got to introduce yourself, right? So you got to say, hey, my name is, it's what I was told a few years ago when I was looking for work, is it's like your elevator speech. I don't know if you know that or heard that term. I didn't until then. It's like a brief 90-second overview of what you've done. And basically, I think it's your testimony when you think about it. It's what God has done for you over the years. And the Bible says in Psalm 66, verse 16, come and hear, all you who fear God, and I will tell what he has done for my soul. You want to tell others what God has done for you. And to continue in that thought, Psalm 107, verse 2, we have nothing to give of value, but he asked for us to tell others about him. So let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from trouble. And I remember that so well from previous churches I went to with Pastor Bill, when he had what he called popcorn testimonies. And he would say that, you know, let the redeemed say so, and encourage us to stand up and tell our testimonies during that time. So, and that's what the Bible is telling us. You know, we have that in our resume here. It's what God has done for me. And lastly, in the book of Mark 5:19, and he did not permit him, but said to him, go home to your friends, tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. So when it comes time when you think God is wanting you to do something for him and you think you don't have anything to offer, you got one part of the resume here. Think about what he has done for you and say so. The next part of a resume you think about is work experience. And again, we know works are not what gets you saved, but let's think about what you have done over the course of time. Ephesians, I just want to remind you for what I just said, you know, Ephesians 2, 8 through 9. For by grace you are saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. This is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. So, again, works, it's just the experience. You got experience when it comes to serving God. And when you do, give it all. You know, whatever you do, according to Colossians 3:23, whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men. So when you're out there mowing that grass for God and out here in the church property, you do it heartily for God, not for us. When you're up here singing, they're not singing to entertain us. They're here to give glory to God. And there are so many areas of service and ministry. You got your teaching. You got singing, working the sound, cleaning the church, just picking up things, you know. How much of there's a big part of works that no one really thinks about, but it's the ministry of encouragement. I think there are people who call others, you know, to encourage them during their sad times that they're going through. Tell them I missed you in church. Sending notes or texts, you know. And then another part of the works is how you just live daily. Do you do everything for the glory of God? You know, when you're at work, do you do your best job not to just, you know, please the boss, but you want to please God? Or at school, you know, or even shopping, you know, I don't know. Everything in our lives, we want to do it for the glory of God. And you do things for others, you know. There are those, when you do dinners for those who may need it, those who, what do you call those things? The dinner things, dinner trains? Meal trains, whatever. Those things, that is a blessing to those who may have had to have surgery and they just don't have, they just got out of the hospital and they are recuperating. It's such a blessing to do something like that, mowing your neighbor's yard just to help them, help a widower. There are a lot of widowers in our lives that we know where you can help them. And it's a work because you're doing it for God and you glorify Him. And you want to do it heartily. Do your best. So that's the work section of your resume. Let's talk about your talents and skills. Now, most of us, we think we don't have anything. You think most of the time it's somebody who's skillful and talented who's up on the stage, you know, or, but you don't realize, but every skill, everyone has a skill. I you know, you sit back and think what you do at your job. And I know there are special skills. A lot of people, they do stand up and they're more visible, you know. I just think of Scott. I'm going to build you up, Scott. Sorry. So don't get too big-headed today. But just you playing that guitar, and it's like makes me want to get up there with you. And I can't play, but, you know, I'll get up there with you and hit a note on the bass. But there are talents, you know, the songs, the people who play the instrument, you know, the organ, the piano. Abby, you're doing a remarkable job. And Nancy, you're doing a great job with the singing there. So they all blend together, the talents, and they have a purpose. You know, you got the harmony that's going together. And everybody has a purpose. We don't realize that while we're in our pews here. According to 1 Corinthians 12:12-27, this is several verses, so I'm going to try to read them. So if you fall asleep, that's okay. I'll overlook it. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. So if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less part of the body. And the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members of the body, each one of them as He chose. If all were of a single member, where would the body be? So as it is, there are many parts, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor, and our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which are more presentable parts to not require. But God has composed the body, giving greater honor to the body that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. So if one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. So all of that, I read that because I just thought it was all so important. We all have some talent. You know, we may not be the eye, we may be the ear. But because of God's message in this section of verses, we all have a talent that helps the body be one, to glorify Him. So you are special, no matter what you think. So think on that when you're filling out that talent section as you're thinking of what's in your hand. And then the next part of our resume is the training. And, you know, when you reach a certain age like me, you're over 21, you think about it, you've probably heard a lot of messages. You've probably been through Sunday school more than you think. You've probably heard so much, and you know the Word of God does not return void. Somewhere it sticks there in that brain, in your heart. And I was thinking of some of the training I have gone through, and I was thinking discipleship and mentoring. We went through discipleship ministries before, and the honor or the blessing I received, I was the mentor part of the discipleship. Discipleship at that time was two people. You had the one who would share the lesson, the ministry, the word with a new Christian or maybe a new member. And I had the blessing of going through at least three times, three different individuals. One was a new member, a new Christian. One was a younger person than me, but a Christian who had known the Lord for a while and was very knowledgeable of the word. And the other was an older man who was older than me, but a Christian. I think he was a Christian for quite some time. But each one was different, but it was such a blessing just going through those lessons that we were trying to share with them and to encourage them and to build them up. It built me up, and it gave me training, even though I was the so-called teacher. And the same thing with Sunday school and Sunday services. For years, we taught children. And I would learn from the Bible stories just as much, I hope, as the kids did, from learning about Ruth or Esther or Joseph. And just kind of allude to those names because it'll come up here in a few minutes. Or going through Awana and helping to memorize verses with the kids. That taught me too. You know, the kids were learning the verses to get the badges and everything, and hopefully to help them to grow closer to God. But learning the verses along with the kids trained me. And then we all have, you know, Bible studies. We've been through Bible studies. We've had community groups where we met in homes. And I think back to we had a community group from about the time we first started Living Hope. Most of my group, about three of them now, passed on, but they were such a blessing to me. My sister was dying of cancer, and she kept having, sometimes she would have spell, you know, they'd have to take her to the hospital, and this one was close to the time before she passed, and we were having a community group. And Diane and I had to leave to go to Owensboro. Well, our community group, they took care of cleaning up the house, you know, taking care of our dog Wiley, and locking up so that we could go over there to be with my sister. And so that training there, not only were we training and encouraging one another in Bible study, but we were also encouraging how to be a service to the others. And that was such a blessing to me. And it was a training opportunity for us all if we just think about it. And then we all have personal studies. You know, I mentioned daily bread. Some people, I heard a leader, church leader one time say daily bread was not a good good way of study the Bible. And I know what he was trying to say. You want to get more into the Bible and study deeper. But I feel that if you're in the Word daily, whether you're learning 4 verses or 40 verses, you're learning an application about God's word that hopefully will encourage you for that day. And if anything, it will encourage you to learn more because you've seen something that is amazing, and that's God's word. So daily bread is important, I feel. The Bible in 1 year. I know sometimes we get into that first of the year, you're going to do it, and about mid-January, you got through Genesis, and you kind of die out. But I think I've done it at least once. If not, this January, I'll do it. But it's I joke, but it's a way to start learning God's word and training yourself. And I read a book one time about reading the books of the Bible all in one setting. And that's pretty good when you start out with the little books, you know, of the Bible. But then when you get into some of these other ones, you know, you get into Jeremiah, Isaiah, you know, some of these that may take a little longer, you may want to break that out. But the book came with some outlines and questions, and that's another way, just some way of doing personal study. And the reason you do that is from 2 Timothy verse 2, or chapter 2, verse 15. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. You're learning those verses because you don't want to be ashamed. You'll know them, and you'll be able to talk about God and have from God's word, something to show them what God can do and has done. And you want to do it again, why we want to study and train again, from another verse in 2 Timothy, this time from chapter 3, verses 16 through 17. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching. It's for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. So it's telling you right there, it's breathed out, it's God's word, it's profitable for teaching, it's for reproof, it's for correction, it's for training, it's helping you. That's why you study God's word. And God has prepared many people in the Bible as examples. I mentioned Joseph. What stands out to me is he fled when there was a temptation that came to him. That story that we learned in probably Sunday school or a Sunday message tells how, you know, Joseph fled temptation from his boss's wife, and, you know, all the things that Joseph went through, and David, you know, that little shepherd taking on a big giant, how we can be trained and prepare, how God prepared him. He can prepare us to take on the giants in our life. And just Paul, you know, how he was a changed person. That's another example, how we can be changed according to God's word. And God can change you. God can use anyone. He uses evil kings all throughout the book, books in the Old Testament. You can see there are kings that he used to prepare the people for God's purpose. So he will prepare you for anything. Once you read his word, study his word, he'll prepare you for life experiences. And the next thing I had is about our goals. And this is, a lot of times you're asked that in a job interview, like, where do you see yourself in 5 years? And so this portion, I'm going to think, you may want to dwell on this a little bit and think, when you're filling out this template, this resume, why are you Christian? You know, what has God done for you? And we hope that you can say he died for me to save me. So no matter what, I'm going to heaven. And you know, that should excite you to tell others. I remember Pastor Tim was saying, you know, hey, I got a dent in my car. Well, praise the Lord, I'm going to heaven anyway. You know. Maybe he's saying that now. I had, you know, surgery and it hurts. I'm going to heaven. Praise the Lord. You know, and it's hard. I can't say I've been excited, you know, when my family dies, you know. You can say this, though, if they were saved, you can say, praise the Lord, I'm going to see him again. Amen. So that's a way of encouragement and thinking that way. I didn't sing zippity-doo-dah when I got fired or let go. It's hard, you know, and sometimes you let life get you, don't you? You kind of forget your joy, and I'm guilty of that. Even now, it gets challenging. You let things in life just push down on you. But you have to go back and circle. Praise the Lord, I'm saved. I'm going to avoid going to hell. I'm going to heaven. And it's been hard, you know, it's challenging. You know, it's hard to talk to people about God, about joy, when you get a sad sack look. Sad sack. That's a character some of us older than 40, you know? So how do you reach others, as you're trying to be joyful? I tell you what I've been doing that I probably didn't do years ago. I have now become a little bit more bolder. Like when people at work are going through a challenging time, I now tell them, I'm praying for you when they're facing the challenges. Praying before meals when you're out with that group. You know, previously I probably prayed like this. Lord, thank you for this food. Amen. Because the other people didn't do it. You know, chances are you're sitting with four or five people who are not Christians. But now I get a little bit bolder, and like we were at a activity a couple weeks ago, Diane and I, a wedding. We just kind of set ourselves aside and bowed our heads and prayed for the food that we were about to eat. So we're a little bit more bolder. We don't have the grand prayer, you know, we don't stand up, you know, like this, and I don't get up in front of everybody and say, dearest Lord, we thank you for bringing us here to these golden arches. We thank thee for the bounty you provided. We thank you for the farmer who raised that cattle to provide the beef for this delicious burger, or the farmer who grew the potatoes for the French fries we are about to eat, or the teen who prepared it without spitting in our food. You know, we do not stand up and pray like that. But we do try to pray, you know, sincere prayer for thanks. And we become more bold that way. Once you do it, it becomes easy. And you call people. That's another way of, you know, a service that have been trying to do more, reaching out to others. We have so much communication these days, you know, whether it's by phone, but we have text, we have FaceTime, I don't know, we have everything. And the thing I found that was we tried to be more Christ-like in our lives. You know, I tell people I can't be there on a Sunday morning, or I can't be there on a Wednesday. And sometimes I hear the reply, well, can't you miss one service? It's like, no, I don't want to. I want to be there for God. I want to be there for each and every one of you. Because when you're not there, I don't know. It encourages me. I may not talk to every one of you. And I may not talk with you at all. I don't know if I apologize. There are days I just don't want to. It's not you. It's me. See, I'm confessing sin. So, I mean, I'm not a talker, but I am encouraged that you sit next to me, though, because we're in it all together as God's family. But I tell you, it is a blessing when you do visit with people, when maybe you're in the hospital, or when you are in need of a friend to hold your hand when your loved one has passed away. We went to nursing home services, and anymore, and like, I think I'm old. I am, really. And I'm getting more cranky, and I don't want to do things. So I'll build up. Yeah, I'll be there, but then when it comes time to do it, it's like, I don't want to do it. I don't want to go. But I tell you, when you go to those nursing homes to be with people who can't get out, it is such a blessing. I just remember one time going and we were singing hymns and just glorifying God, and it was such a wonderful event to go to. And then the next day, my granddaughter died. And it was not, it's just like, does Satan do that? And he does. So just fair warning, there are just things in life that just hit you. Another thing I was telling about, wrote down, and I've had experience doing it, is jail ministry. You know, we want to tell people, these guys are in the, that is not a fun thing to do, I'll tell you that. You go in, they lock those doors, you go down this long hallway, then you're locked again in the doors, and then you go in, and there's these room, big open room. And the first night I went, there was the guard and this one prisoner going at it. And I'm like, oh my gosh, get me out of here. But we stayed in there and we told them about what God has done for us. And I gave the testimony of what I just said about serving God, but yet death happens and things happen. But I still tried to show that smile and joy. And that was my testimony. That night. So when you're doing this, when you got your resume and you're ready to do that work, do that service, do that ministry, I just want to emphasize, you got to have faith, right? It takes faith, you know. As you take a leap of faith. I think of, there was a Indiana Jones movie and he had to go across this big, I don't know what you call it, chasm or it was a long jump, let's just say that. But he had to take a leap of faith, and all he did was just stepped out, and there was like a optical illusion that it didn't look like there was a bridge, but there actually was. And so that's the way it is in life. Just step out. I'm doing it right now. Would you believe that? It's not easy coming up here sometimes. But I think it's just because of our... I don't know what it is, yourself, your pride maybe. You think you're going to look stupid, you're going to look foolish. And another thing that I'm going through as I am old, I don't care anymore. if you think I look foolish, I don't care. But faith is important, very important. In Hebrews 11:6, it says, and without faith it is impossible to please him. Whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. And so Hebrews was, I think I've heard it called as the Hall of Faith chapter. It mentions by faith Abel offered to God a more acceptable offering, a sacrifice. By faith, Noah, you know, he built the ark while everybody's just laughing at him. He didn't have the, he served God. He did what God told him to do, but he had faith. Because he didn't know it was going to rain for 40 days. It would rain like it did and flood the world. And by faith, we talk about Moses as an example. And then others, Gideon, Barak, not Barak that we know, but Samson, and David, and Samuel. Others in that chapter are listed. And so when you have your resume, you have those sections. So in conclusion, you don't really need this resume written out, typed out, like notes here today, but I can't remember everything, so I have to have notes. I have to have the outline, so another thing for getting older. But it makes a good reminder when you say those excuses. I don't have anything to offer. You know, I'm not a great speaker. I listened to Billy Graham a video last night, I think, again. And I always was just admired how he could speak to so many people. And I know I'm not like that. I'm not like others who minister. I'm not like our pastor, but, you know, I do want to serve when called. And I can say I have stuff in my hand. And, you know, my voice is not great like James Earl Jones or Charlton Heston. But I'm hoping my voice projects the message that God wants me to serve. It's my love and my faith for God that have that desire to serve. And it's not in some formal outline like this. But I could say that the perfect example that we have, it may not be an outline, it may not be your resume, but it's God, it's Jesus himself. For the Bible said, "For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." That's from the book of Mark, chapter 10, 45. So, I just, you know, this helps you think what is in your hand. You don't have to go home tonight and write it all down, all in the sections, but just think about it. Meditate on it. You do have something to offer. And take that faith. Step out and serve him. And when you do, you give it all your best. Give it all the glory. Give it all the glory to God. And he will honor that. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for the blessings you have given us. And Lord, may we just take heart knowing that we have things to offer. We can serve you in mighty ways that sometimes we don't realize it. Whether it's a ministry of encouragement, a prayer, just visiting one another, whatever that may be, we have the skills. We have talents. We just may not be as visible as some, but we got ways to serve you, and I just pray that we take it to heart as we go about our daily lives this week. And we just thank you for this time. May we just give you the honor and glory. And these things we pray in your name. Amen.